Welcome to the Christian Life Coach Collective. I am your host, Laura Malone, and we're here to talk about life coaching, entrepreneurship, leading yourself well, and lots of spirit-led life and business strategies. So thanks for joining me on this journey, and let's jump into today's episode.
Hello there, friends. I don't know if it's morning for you, but is for me, and the zoo is all in my office. The cat's looking out the window, the dog's on the couch staring at me, and the puppy is wandering around, and you will hear him whimper because his man is on a walk without him, and he doesn't want to be stuck with me. But he bites my toes, and he harasses the cat and the dog. So the podcast has a new character, y'all. So I want to ask you if you've ever found yourself in a moment of revelation about who you are, how you are, what you're doing, like what anything like that. Because I had a moment like this at 4:30 in the morning. The new puppy, Arthur, the Aussie Doodle, he somehow ended up in my bed instead of his kennel. I don't know what happened. And I woke up to him throwing up next to my legs. So after cleaning it all up, laying back down, my body was like desperate for more sleep, but my mind was awake and like already working. And first, I began thinking about the greenhouse course and this fresh revelation about it, what the Lord's been showing me, how my heart yearns to do this thing. And when I open the drawers to it, it's going to be new and revamped, and we're going to jump into some really incredible things. Make sure you get on the wait list for that. If you want to get trained and certified as a Sterling and Stone life coach. And I literally can't wait to open the doors again and train people with a heart to help other people on like how to do it with the tools that the Lord's given me. I want to set you guys up for success with just kingdom principles, tools, like God's coaching tools. So I sat with that for a little while, and then my mind started going to another place. And let me be honest and clear that, well, let me be clear that this is going to be an honest episode. Vulnerable, honest. So just like in coaching, let this be a non-judgmental place, because it's non-judgmental when I'm sitting alone in my office recording this. But who knows what you're going to do with it. So just telling you. In the coaching space, we're non-attached. We're non-judgmental. I'm just going to assume you're going to give me that grace. So I'm fine with sharing all my real stuff simply because I see the power of vulnerability. I see the power of how I'm able to help other people where they're at by sharing where I am and where I've been and where I'm going. So before I dive into it, I want to dive backwards a little bit and bring up episode number 216, where I talked about poison and power thoughts. So they are like root thoughts that hold some kind of power in our lives and have a lot of determining power in our paradigms. Poison thoughts have a power over us, while power thoughts give power to us. I'll add that I believe this flows out of our lives too. I think there's a measure of our poison thoughts that want to have power over others and power over our situations. And that's kind of like where control comes in, manipulation comes in, even if we're not aware of it. But that's what poison thoughts do. And when we live from the power thoughts, we not only empower ourselves, but we have a truer, real, true, fruitful power towards people. We become empowerers. empower. It's power to instead of power over. So these root thoughts, they've been there a long time, and our brains find proof and confirmation that they are true, regardless of whether they are or not. Some of them include things like, I'm not wanted, I'm not good or worthy, I'm controlled or powerless or hopeless, I'm not free, I have no peace, I'm not safe, you know. Sometimes you are not safe. You are threatened. Like you're actually in a threatening situation. And sometimes your brain just says you are, but you're not. So I've recently discovered a new root. I've been asking God to reveal this root and give me clarity about it for a long time because I've seen the fruit of it for a while. I've been trying to get to the depths so I can, like, you know, grab a shovel and go dig it out. I was in a situation where I suddenly heard this root thought in my heart and mind saying, I'm not important. And right now, because that poisonous thought has been flowing freely through just a difficult season, my brain will tell you about 60 times a day, I have proof. Me and my brain, we have proof. This is true. It's true that the poison is real and more powerful than big T truth, right? Like the word. And it even wants to convince my soul there is nothing I can do about it. Like, this is forever. It's fatal. Don't even try. This is so true. It's like a law of the universe. It's like gravity, right? But I know an enemy when I see one after all these years of pointing him out, telling him, no thanks. I don't want what you're selling. I know where the enemy likes to play his game. So I can tell you, my counselor, because I believe in counseling all the way for like every reason as a preventative healthy measure versus like shameful something's wrong with you message, I really believe in counseling. And my counselor probably ends every session with thoughts like, I wonder if all life coaches are this ridiculously hard to counsel. Because Laura just sits there and coaches herself through everything. My counseling sessions are like, I walk through it all. I talk through it all. And while I'm talking through it, I coach myself. And then I look at her and I'm like, do you have anything to add? So here's my money. Poor woman. So I've been talking this through with her, this narrative, this root, right? Thank you, said counselor, if you're listening ever. And I see this is definitely a root. And it, like, in fact, I believe it's one of the most, if not the most, poisonous thoughts of my life, because I believe I can see where it started in my childhood, where there was abuse, abandonment, addiction. Like, I check all the boxes. And I was the youngest in the midst of the chaos, so I always felt unseen and unheard in my pain and my need. You know, my mom just called me Mouse because I didn't have much of a voice to things when I was little. And she felt like I always had little pink ears listening in. And so my nickname was Mouse then. It is not now. So fast forward 4 decades, and here I am after all this inner healing I've done and personal development and intentional growth. And this root, I've gotten closer and closer to it. I'm going to say, like, it hasn't necessarily risen to the surface. I have dug deep past a bunch of other things. I've dealt with a bunch of fruit, and now I am getting to the root. I think sometimes we get mixed up. We think, oh, I dealt with that. I think sometimes we dealt with the fruit and then the branches and the leaves and we get to the trunk, but we don't get to the root. And it's like in Shrek where, like, he's telling Donkey about the onion has layers. Well, that's what we're doing, is we're peeling back the layers. We finally get to the core. So these poison thoughts, they have spider thoughts that stem out from them, like these little thoughts from the poison that spider out. So I'm unimportant. It also sounds like I don't matter. They choose to not hear me. What I'm talking about is meaningless to them. Why do I even try? They don't have time for me. What matters to me doesn't matter to them. And I mean, that applies. I can see that root and those spider thoughts impacting almost every relationship I have, besides a couple. And I can see it now. I can see how it's actually been affecting my relationships since my childhood, and definitely impacted how I interpret my parents and friends and all of the significant others in my life, everybody who's been significant to me in relationship. I can see now how that root was there throughout all of it. And I want you to notice that these spider thoughts, they turn away from just me and they include other people. And spider thoughts like to blame other people, whether it's for their action or their inaction or nothing at all, just blaming them. And when we blame other people, we actually give away power. We give them the control, even if they don't know about it, right? Over all of our pearls, our paradigms, emotions, actions, results, and legacies. Mind you, they don't really have this control, but we act like they do because they're to blame. And blaming others for what we need to own simply locks up our own power to make any changes for ourselves. If it's their fault, I can't do anything about it. Now, obviously, if somebody hits my car, they are at fault. But how I react and respond to them hitting my car, that is mine to own. So if I'm angry, then that's mine. They didn't make me angry. The car crash didn't make me angry. I made me angry. I made choices to be angry. And sometimes I don't feel like I can stop the anger, but it's because of the roots. It's because of the paradigm I'm operating from. Sometimes we believe and understand and know that we can change that paradigm and get a different emotion, but sometimes we don't. And even I do the work all of the time and I coach people on the work, and I still get someplace where I'm like, it's just not possible to not be angry or hurt or disappointed or whatever. I can't talk myself out of it. It's okay to feel that in the moment and allow it, and then process through and work yourself to a place so that you're not unnecessarily staying in that place, but you take back the pencil to the story. You don't put the whole story and the weight of your whole life on the fact somebody else hit your car. You measure yourself, you manage and lead yourself into a place where you can function and then survive and then eventually thrive and then eventually forgive and bless. That is the process. It doesn't mean you should never be angry, disappointed, sad, hurt. It just means don't stay stuck. Do the work, leave that place and heal and survive and thrive and forgive, release and bless. And all of that work is unto your healing. Sorry, that's a little bit, I think I went on a little tangent, but okay. When we blame other people, right? We're kind of releasing the power that we have to make any changes because, you know, if somebody else has the power, then what can we do? It just leaves us hopeless. When we operate in true power, we can make changes. We can experience transformation that allows us to own our own story and be the story maker. I don't know about you, but I want to be that in my life. I don't want other people to have my pencil in their pocket, not even knowing about it, and keeping me from writing the story the way I want to if I am actually co-authoring it with God. In fact, I believe that when we blame others and don't take responsibility for ourselves, it's even easier to blame God as well, thinking he just did a crappy job with our story. It's all his fault, or it's his fault because I don't mean anything, or because I was, you know, this person. He's got no time for me, or he's angry at me. And we blame him, and that all reconfirms that the poisonous root running through us is real and true. So I've made a decision that I want my life to be powerful too. Powerful towards myself, to others, towards my story and to my purpose in the world. And I want the poison roots, I want them dug up. Like, I want the fruit pruned away that keeps me stuck in limiting beliefs and unbelief and lies. And I want the roots dug up so they can't wrap themselves around my ankles and wrists and mind and heart and shackle me anymore. I want the soil to be cleansed and able to hold good seeds that bear good fruit and have positive impact in the world. So this lie that I'm unimportant actually makes me really angry because
I like to say, I think I am important. I am. I am important, and I'm heard, and I'm seen, and I'm known, which makes it worse when the poison is triggered and starts flowing through my veins, making me feel like spiteful and unforgiving, resentful, bitter, and just plain mad. Like my soul says, I should not be treated this way. So I have to defend myself, right? I deserve better and I have to fight for it. So that makes me reactive and defensive. Even if I'm, let's just say, the truth is I am important to people. But my brain and this poison is telling me I'm not. But then they're like, why is she acting so defensive and reactive right now? Because my brain is saying it's because you're not important. My paradigm is saying you're not important in this situation. And I'm acting based on that belief. And then everybody around me is like, why is she being like that? I know I'm on that side with other people a lot, and I can recognize it, that it's hard to recognize things in yourself. So my mind is geared now to say, I am important. I do matter. But I react in a way that lets people know that if they treat me like I'm not important, they will find out how unimportant they are to me. So I can retaliate. It's really disgusting when I get this far. It's not often, but it does happen. I can see it now. I hate the way it makes me feel, because sometimes I can retaliate and say, well, if I'm not important to you, then I'm going to let you know you're not important to me. And by the way, that is the antithesis, the exact opposite of who I am. I am very, everybody's important, and you are important to me. And I think that's why it's so deep for me, because if I think somebody believes I'm not important, then it just feels so out of alignment. It feels unjust, and I want to correct it. And when I don't feel power to correct it, then I retaliate, because if I feel stuck in a cycle. And so then I remove importance from them. And that is just so not who I am. So then I'm miserable at even a deeper level, because the truth is they are really important to me and I'm trying to fake it. So here's the deal. Like, the truth doesn't just suddenly become, in my paradigm, I am important. I actually need a heart transplant that comes and undoes all of the pain and the rot caused by the poisonous root, right? I need a heart surgeon. But even though I have a heart surgeon, it's not just his work to do. I have to follow my doctor's recommendations, and I have to cut out some things that aren't good for me, like the lies I've been believing and what feeds them. And then I need to add in things that are good for my heart, like the word, tools that are going to help transform and heal my heart, new beliefs about what's possible for my life and what other people really believe about me. I'm saying all of this because in my heart, like, I love to take spiritual, biblical tool, like truth, and actually dissect it, simplify it so that you can understand how to do it, how to, you know, if the Bible says don't fear, I actually want to teach you how to not fear. But I want to help people understand how to deal with the lies we believe. It's not just cognitive dissonance because we believed it and now we're trying to believe something new. There is an enemy of our soul that wants us to not succeed in believing the truth. So lies become a heart and soul issue. And the heart's not just your emotions. It's not just your feelings. And it's our soul. So think of your heart as like the door to your soul. It's all connected. And that means it's the thoughts and beliefs, emotions, your personality, your will, your imaginations and dreams and values and perspectives. It's obviously not the heart organ. In fact, like science shows, it's really like our soul is attached like to our gut. And our gut is like our second brain and needs to be treated as important as the first. So when you say your, and I say gut, like as in your, all of the, your stomach, your intestines, like all of those things, they really are tied to your soul. And
Your body is your outer being, your soul is your inner being, and your spirit is your innermost being. Think of it like that. And they're all connected. We're spirit, soul, and body. That's biblical. And your soul and your heart are knit to your body. And so everything happening in your soul affects your body and vice versa. Okay. So when you say your heart hurts, it's your soul that hurts. If we get specific about it, you know, thinking of the heart as like this door, something that's a part of our soul. It is our soul, but it's like can be opened and closed. And, you know, I've talked about this in the past towards more like the beginning of the podcast about the body being the outer being, soul, inner being, spirit, the innermost being. I think that heart is like the door between our soul and our spirit. It's really important we watch over it. Wisely choose what we open it up to and what we allow to walk through it. You know, Jesus knocks on that door, wants our soul, the will inside of our soul to open up to him so our spirits can be born again and come alive because of the love of God. And I want to know this, all of these truths, I want to know them with my knower, right? But there's this precious, delicate place called the soul, where things have just landed and they seeped in and they became part of the fabric of the quilt, right? So they're thread, it's like a bunch of threads, and sometimes they're stains. When something like this stain is on our soul, only Jesus can really wipe it away or clean it up or do something with it to make it beautiful. We can't do it on our own because no amount of OxiClean or bleach or Myers-Briggs can get this kind of stain out. We can't combat it with another poisonous agent. We need the cleanest truth, the big T truth. And not only truth, but the kind of truth that washes away our shame, heals the pain, and digs up the lies. So when we have stains, they can get on other people. And actually, that makes me think about the stain from Arthur the puppy getting sick on the bed this morning. I did spray it with OxiClean. I'll have to wash that later today. If I hadn't cleaned it up, then it would have gotten on my Roxy dog or Cannoli the tripod cat, my husband when he sat on the edge of the bed, or my kids when they came to play with the puppy, and on me. So OxiClean does have its place in life, I guess. It just can't clean up a soul. And poison spiders through in very sneaky ways and creates stains where we don't expect. In Galatians 5:9, Paul says, it only takes a little bit of leaven to leaven the whole lump. So only a little yeast added to the dough will cause it to rise, whether you want a risen dough or not. So maybe you're making crackers, but somebody comes through while you're not looking and adds yeast to the mix while you're not watching. This leads me to the scripture in Matthew 26. I think it's verse 41. It says, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour in 1 Peter 5:8. So we're to take our watch seriously, which means being aware and intentional about what we allow our souls to ingest, what we allow to infiltrate and contaminate our thoughts, which ultimately become beliefs. And those thoughts and beliefs create emotions that cause us to take action, to either avoid or pursue said emotion. And what we do always has an outcome, whether we like the outcome and the results or not. Those results and outcomes, they turn into legacies that we create and like become our story. That's how the world experiences us. So back to the leaven for a second. Leaven refers to something that shouldn't be there and something that will infiltrate and contaminate. And this does not mean you shouldn't have toast with your eggs. It just shows that it only takes a little bit of one ingredient to shift the plan, the purpose, and the design of something. In this case, poison is like leaven. It's going to try to ruin and pervert the plans and purposes and design that God has for your life. But you have the ability to cut it out and cut it off and not allow it. And then we can own our story and take responsibility for how we operate in every situation and how we react to pain, how we respond to others and make changes. It's literally my goal in this podcast, in my business, in my coaching and content to help you understand how to do this because I want to give power to you by helping you understand how to identify the way your soul operates and how to invite the spirit within you to rise up and hear God and how to become a powerful person that sees the beauty of the process. I want you to know that regardless of the poison in your soul, there's hope. I call him Jesus. He's my anchor, and he doesn't operate like he has power over me. He gives power to me, and he walks by my side and teaches me what to do with it. Because God literally created us in the garden so we would walk with him, and Jesus wants a relationship with us. But people, you know, as in like a verb, like people. And this means we take the power of God and his name and his son and spirit, and we twist it because of our limited knowledge and understanding. So we have to do some unraveling of what power really is and what is actually poison. And I don't want this lie, you're not important, to infiltrate and contaminate my life. And I bet you don't want poison in your soul either. I bet you probably want your thought life to be cleaned up, washed up. And the first step is to become aware that the poison is there and to decide you don't want it anymore. So you deal with the poisonous fruits. You deal with the branches, the leaves, the trunk. It is a process, but eventually you'll find out that all of that fruit's attached to some kind of root, and you will get there. And God's really faithful to help you get to it and then to dig it out so you can be free. And when you get free, then you have authority in that area to look at other people and say, I can recognize the fruit and I want to help you. And I also know how to walk you through from the fruit all the way to the root. And I have authority to do so because I've been set free from the same thing. So you bring it to God, who is good and faithful, and you say, Father, I don't want this lie anymore. If I give it to you, if I lay this poison, if I lay this root at the foot of the cross, what truth are you going to trade me for? And trade me for it. Like, what if I give you this lie, give me in exchange a truth. We call it the great exchange. Trade in the lie for the truth. God knows about the lie already. There's no shame or condemnation. If you feel that, it's actually coming from your own soul or the enemy of your soul. God brings conviction, not condemnation. And his conviction comes with a kindness that leads you to repentance. That is not attached to condemnation. But sometimes our dirty, poisoned filter keeps us from believing that he is kind and good and makes us interpret him through our belief system. So you can even ask him to show you where have you projected poison onto your view of him and to come ask him to come remove the root so you can see him more clearly. Maybe what you believed isn't true. If poison can keep you from the truth, it can keep you powerless and hopeless. And honestly, powerless, hopeless people are in pain and cause pain. And that's how poison spreads and destroys and divides. So take your poison and your roots to the Lord, because he already knows about it and he wants to bring healing. There's no reason not to take it to him. There's no reason to hold on to it except for the fact that it's comfortable and safe because it's the way it's always been. And your brain's not going to necessarily want to let go, and it's going to want to keep proving to you that this is not poison. This is true. Once you see the fruit of the root with clarity, you'll also understand how it's impacting your life and what you want and what you get and other people. And I'm telling you, you can take back the power of your story, and it's possible. Because Jesus took back the keys so you and I could be free. So I want to add that power thoughts can be chosen, but they can also be received. So I can sit here and decide what I will think on and meditate on and believe in so that I can operate from a place of power. But I can also receive new thoughts that the Lord speaks to me, or I read in a book, or I hear somebody say, or maybe something even like a friend or a client says to me. I can become intentional about what I think, creating new thoughts and beliefs, but even borrowing the idea of a new thought that somebody else said. You know, I could just be like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. What did you just say? When you have that aha moment that somebody says something or you read something, that's the power of a new thought in your paradigm. Because thoughts are just that. They're just a thought. A thought does not identify you. You do not have to own it. And not every thought that comes your way is supposed to be yours. You have the power to choose. We're not taught this, so most of us don't have the skill set, but it really should be a class like we take every year of school and for the rest of our lives in continued education, because it's how we lead ourselves well, through intentional soul leadership. Decide what you'll think and believe and feel and do instead of being a victim of circumstance and default living. So I pray that the seed takes root for you. If you want to get coaching, grab the link in the show notes, or you can go to sterlingandstonementoring.com. Right now, I'm taking new clients, so you can either schedule a free consult so we can talk about, you know, longer-term coaching, help you figure out what you want in life in any area and how to get it from the root to the fruit, or you can even just schedule a one-off session because you need some kind of quick win in your thought life, or you need a strategy for something immediately. And of course, if you want to become a coach, you can get on the wait list for the Greenhouse certification course, so make sure you check that out. Okay, bless you, friends. I'm important. You're important. All things are possible. And I'll talk to you in the next episode. Hey, friends. Don't forget to jump into the Christian Life Coach Collective Facebook group if you haven't already, so you can connect with like-directed people and get free resources and ask for feedback. All the things that are going to help support you on your calling as a coach. I hope to see you in there, and don't forget to subscribe to the show.